Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the third annual Bigger Show Year-End Review.
Mm-hmm.
What a bunch of shit. We're gonna watch you bleed!
That's the theme of the day, is
what a piece of shit band Guns N' Roses is.
Sorry.
If we can agree on one thing in 2016, it is that the year has been sentient and evil, and that Guns N' Roses is a shithole of a band. Joining us today...
Which we lost zero members from that band, I'd like to point out.
Unfortunately. we lost Prince, Bowie, and George Michael. Could not get Axel to kick the goddamn bucket. Joining us, as always, is...
Cameron B. Childs.
Cameron B. Childs. And all the way from New York City, we've got...
Hey, it's Spencer.
Spencer Cantrell rejoining us probably since the last year in review.
It tends to be the year in review.
Because you're home.
Because I'm around.
You've been on all three, I think. Yeah.
Sweet.
I'm pretty sure that's
Remember
right.
when we were very formal about these and we had to have a top 10 of everything?
Yeah,
and
we had like a panel.
Yeah.
Thing to be three fucking hours long.
Yeah. Well, it was. It was.
But we're just going to kind of bullshit today.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk a little bit of news. And mourn. We're going to talk a little bit of things we liked. We're going to talk a little bit of things we didn't so much like. That's one thing I've noticed about myself in the last year, is that I tend not to be so belligerent about the things I didn't like.
Sure.
Because there's...
Except Guns N' Roses.
Except fuck Axl Rose in his stupid shitty face. Complete... fuck you, Matt Miles. Matt, general audience Miles, just flip me off from the... That's the only bit of Matt you'll get.
Maybe.
The day is young, yeah.
Yeah, the day is young. But before we talk about any of that shit, it's the holiday season.
Mm-hmm.
Cameron.
So whoop-dee-doo and diddly-doo.
Is that really a seasonal song?
They're coming down the chimney now. Whatever that
You're
one is.
You're making this up.
No, it's real.
You're the Christmas music expert. Esper. Is that real?
I'll have to confer.
See, Spencer says
some experts.
Some smexperts. How was your smoliday?
Pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah. Not a lot to tell or
you got
amazing
a dishwasher.
Stores. I did get it. We ordered a dishwasher a month ago and finally got it installed. And
wow.
Yeah.
Over the holiday?
It's that popular of a dishwasher.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that a true thing?
Yeah.
Wow.
Same thing with our fridge last year. This is riveting podcasting. But I do have to point out that our mugs are just looking amazing now. Not here. We're at your place. But when we have another one at my place, the mug is going to look amazing.
Speaking of mugs, I want to point out that Spencer always has the same Elvis mug when he comes here.
Mm-hmm.
This one had been sitting on the windowsill for a couple of weeks. He spotted it, went to it, cleaned it, and then filled it with coffee.
Mm-hmm.
That's dedication to making sure he has his favorite mug.
I mean, right. If things aren't broken, Mike.
Right, it's true. Yeah. Why fix them?
Yeah.
You also got Star Fox 64.
That's right. That's the standout surprise gift of the year.
From Stephanie? From your wife?
From my brother-in-law.
Ah.
Yeah. Yeah.
What did Stephanie get you?
She got me...
Socks?
Just, yeah, some... I mean, I did get socks. From my wife.
From my wife!
She got me a lot of practical stuff, which she
which
usually does. Yeah.
Sometimes you need the practical gift.
I got some earplugs, so that was really good,
for
too.
For when you're jamming?
Mm-hmm.
Clam jamming?
Yeah, also not the most fun gift in the world, but very practical.
Earplugs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I wanted some socks, and nobody bought me any socks, so...
I got two pairs of socks.
Really?
I got some with chainsaws and a cabin on them from Evil Dead. And then I'm currently wearing my other pair, which have Michael Myers on them.
Nice.
Sweet.
I'll get you some socks.
Oh, please do. No, I was getting these, you know, the, like, so if you're signed up for the Ace Hotel, like, I don't know, e-update and rewards things.
Right.
They send you this, like, oh, you should look at this hat and this, you know, and they sent around these socks and I wanted them.
Oh.
And I just didn't think to, like, tell anybody.
Well,
this is what I want.
We're not mind readers, Spencer.
I know.
How are we to know what socks you want if you don't tell us?
Especially if they're real specific, like
right.
Well, what was your? You had a standout gift.
Oh yeah,
but to you. I mean, yeah, no, it is
to the public at large.
It is pretty standout. I got the vinyl for Coven.
Coven, man.
Which is the movie that Mark Borchardt makes during the documentary American Movie.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe that this existed.
Yeah.
We need to listen to it, but we also need to maybe have those guys on the... So, it was put out by another podcast called Forever Midnight.
Yeah.
They teamed up with Mark Borchardt to re-release this soundtrack, the score, on vinyl. And it's a gorgeous set. The artwork for the album cover is gorgeous.
Yes.
It comes with a movie poster that's hand-drawn.
Mm-hmm.
It comes with a page from the script. It comes with a download code for Coven the movie.
Mm-hmm.
It comes with a download code for Coven the score. And it comes with, like, a ton of other shit.
It's Coven, man.
It's Coven. Like, oven. Coven. So, yeah, definitely one of the standout gifts this year.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't listened to it yet, but maybe we should do a podcast listen.
Maybe.
At some point. So, yeah, I also got a patch jacket, which I really like.
Mm-hmm.
My mom got me a denim jacket and some patches.
A denim? I've definitely been hunting around for a denim jacket that's not $60-$70.
It's hard.
I'm seeing a lot of them around, though.
I know that mine was not cheap, so I appreciate her getting it for me.
Yeah.
Thanks, Sherry.
Yes. I got a new VHS hat that I'm currently wearing.
To replace the old one,
variety? The old one. I have them hanging up in my room right now, and like seeing them side by side is appalling.
Yeah, so one of them's kind of staticky and warbly, like maybe some pornography on top of it somewhere. Like
burnt through just a little.
Yeah, yeah.
There's some food stuff from Dunkin' Donuts on it, probably.
Right, yes. VHS jokes.
Jokes.
So yeah, good holiday, pretty much all around, I guess. I spent it at home in my hometown, our hometown.
I guess so.
And I saw Spencer once, but the rest of the time I was at home, at my mother's home, and I'm just glad to be back in Murfreesboro.
Yeah.
The place is a desolate wasteland.
Mm-hmm.
Did you encounter this phenomenon of like, so no one's putting up Christmas lights this year? They have these like projector things that you set out in the middle of the, like, yeah.
I've seen those.
This is apparently a huge trend that has taken off.
Oh, did you not see my mother's Christmas lights?
I didn't.
Oh.
I don't know that they were on.
No, because it was raining.
That's right. Yeah.
No, her yard is a Christmas threw up in her front yard.
Well, good for her.
But no.
As it should be.
Your parents did the projector
lights. Well, they did, and I thought they did it pretty well, considering, but I'm still against the, I don't know. I drove by a bunch of houses where people had it up or whatever, but if you weren't, like, really looking, it was just shitty and, like, kind of, I don't know, like, you couldn't see it on the house.
Yeah.
Like, it was poorly done. So, I'm against it. It feels like half-assing.
Need more power!
I'm against half-assing Christmas.
Yes. Yep. Spencer, strangely enough, is one of the biggest Christmas fans I know. And Disney fans. It's weird. As cynical as Spencer can be, those are the two things. Yeah, Christmas lights. My mother is the tackiest decorator.
Sure.
She has a red, white, and blue Christmas tree on her front porch.
Awesome.
It's white, and then all the ornaments are patriotic.
Yes.
Because why the fuck not? Her kitchen has about 1,700 nutcrackers in it.
Yeah.
I don't know where she puts them the rest of the year, but she takes down the Aunt Jemima collectibles and puts up the fuck... You remember that shit? I finally had to tell her to take them down a few years ago.
Next year, you just need to show up with like a 15-pound bag of nuts and just be like, we're going to town.
To wreck all
I don't think I've ever seen a nutcracker... that I would confidently crack a nut.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because I would afraid its jaw would just snap off.
They always look like they were made by a very talented Russian 11-year-old.
Right.
And then sold at Cracker Barrel.
Right.
Or Hobby Lobby. I went to Hobby Lobby at the beginning of the season, and there was a display of them. Did you go, bro? That was just hideous.
Hobby Blobby.
Hobby Blobby. Hobby Blobby. So, yeah. My mother's home looks like a fucking Christmas nightmare.
Yeah.
I'm glad to be back. That's how
it's good to be
was.
Reminded that you can never go back,
right?
You know,
yeah. Why would you want to?
Right.
So this year, as of today, continued to be the worst fucking year ever.
Mm-hmm. Please explain.
Yeah, as of recording this today, Carrie Fisher passed away,
mm-hmm.
which just proves that 2016. Is both sentient and evil.
Right.
And is just...
It has become self-aware.
And is just out to destroy everything.
Right.
Well, it was one of those things that George Michael passed away the other day, and it was like... And then, you know, you found out that Carrie Fisher had this horrible heart attack, but everybody kept saying, oh, she's in stable condition, and everything's going to be fine.
2016 won't take her.
No. Yeah, it's not going to happen. And then here we are.
Yep.
As we round out the new year. No mm-hmm. one is safe. What a fucking nightmare.
Thank your heroes now for enriching your life.
Right. Because
you may not have the chance tomorrow.
I wonder, so, just in terms of, like, what this is going to mean for Star Wars, she was obviously a big part of Force Awakens.
Yeah.
Her, the newest film, or not Rogue One, but the newest in the new trilogy, mm-hmm. has been filmed and is finished. So unless they, you know, I don't know what they're going to do. My fear is that they're going to pull a Rogue One. I'm going to spoil one small part of Rogue One right now. Spencer has not seen it.
They get the plans.
They get the fucking plans for the Death Star. So Peter Cushing in the original New Hope played Grand Moff Tarkin. And it worked.
Grand Moff Tarkin.
In Rogue One... well, hold on. In Revenge of the Sith, Episode 3... There is an actor in Peter Cushing makeup at the very end of the movie when Darth Vader and Grand Moff Tarkin are standing on the bridge of the newly built... Or no, they're watching the Death Star get built.
Mm-hmm.
In Rogue One, there is a 100% CGI version. At least his head.
Yeah, I was always wondering whether for the neck down he was
I
or
think
not.
I think it's a real person of Grand Moff Tarkin.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like somebody fucking tripped and fell down the Uncanny Valley. I mean, it is fucking awful.
It was, today at work, I had the chance to explain what the Uncanny Valley was to a couple of my coworkers
exactly
and say, this is the shining, glaring example.
Yeah, general audience Matt Miles said that when we went to see it, and I was like, yeah, this is exactly what it's scary.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are very few moments in Rogue One where it works.
Yeah.
Like, there were a few moments I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I'm not entirely sure why they didn't just use a fucking actor in makeup.
Right, because they used, I can't remember the character's name, but the general lady, the rebel general.
Oh, Mon Mothma.
Yeah. They got someone who just looked pretty much like her.
Right.
It's just kind of like, oh, couldn't you have just done that?
But now I wonder, because they did that, and because they did Grand Moff Tarkin like that, I wonder if her story isn't finished in this newest installment.
Oh, no. I feel like everyone would riot if they... Yeah. Are you suggesting that they might try to attempt to include CGI Carrie Fisher?
What else would they do?
Have her die off screen, I hope.
It's not going to happen. There's no way.
But you don't... But you think they would... It would be more likely that they would have a CGI?
If her story is not concluded in this movie... And it was intended that she's supposed to be a bigger part of the third movie.
Mm-hmm.
They will do something obscene like that.
I couldn't stomach it.
Don't you think?
I don't know. I mean, I'm with you. I think people would riot. But,
oh, I do too.
But not that is a reason that people choose not to do things.
Right. Like, we're talking about a.
But this is
juggernaut.
Like, this is Star Wars. I mean, it's sort of like.
Right.
I don't know.
But I also feel like. there was no reason for, like, no good reason for Grand Moff Tarkin to even be in Rogue One. Mm-hmm. But there he fucking was, and he was horrifying.
Just a weird, right. like, lots of cooks thing, or, I mean...
I don't know. Well, and it may have something to do with the reshoots, because Rogue One went through a lot of reshoots.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, there was a lot behind the scenes that was... And in hindsight, I can kind of see that now.
Right.
This isn't spoiling anything about the movie, but... I by the end of the movie, I only cared about three characters who were not even main characters. They were three aliens that are maybe only on screen for a minute each.
Right.
So they had some cool, like, practical effects.
Mm-hmm.
And I really enjoyed Rogue One, but, yeah, the aliens. They're the space monkey. The lizard right. man.
Biggest disappointment to me, like a thing I knew was going to be in it going in that I was disappointed by was Donnie Yen. Donnie Yen was the... What?
You're kidding.
That I was biggest disappointed?
Disappointment? He was the best part of that movie.
The whole The Force is with me, I'm one with the Force thing
that was,
got old.
Yeah. Well.
But also, I mean, and I know English isn't his first language, but his delivery was just weird. Like, it felt weird.
I think that was part of it. We'll talk more about Rogue One in a little
okay.
bit. I don't want them to make a CGI Carrie Fisher.
Please no.
No.
Just
put that out there.
Yeah, but my fear is that they might. They might do something like that.
Mm.
She'll come back from the grave with her dog and tell them to piss off.
And just don't do this. So yeah, 2016. What a fucking turd of a year. Not so much pop culturally. I mean, there was some good shit this year. There was some abysmal shit this year, too.
Mm-hmm.
Before we jump into that, though, one thing that Cameron and I have talked a lot about on this show is the film series Aliens.
Yep.
And Alien and Prometheus.
Mm-hmm.
More recently, Prometheus.
Mm-hmm.
The trailer for the sequel to Prometheus, Alien Covenant, has come out.
I haven't seen him.
We are about to watch it, okay. And then we will come back.
All right.
All right.
Karis, please, open up!
I can't do that without him. I keep infection.
And we're back.
Wowie wow.
Wow. Crazy.
Covenant.
Mix them up.
Alien, Ark of the Covenant. Great movie.
What'd you
Very
think?
Scary. Here's my immediate reaction is that it looks like it may be only slightly better than Prometheus. I like that it seems to be going back to form, but maybe... since we're talking about Star Wars, in an Episode 7 kind of way where maybe it's a little too samey. You know what I mean?
I think you're wrong.
Yeah?
I think Ridley Scott realized you don't shit where you eat and has gone back to form in the best way possible.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to incorporate the things about I don't think they've shown enough of the Prometheus stuff. And I think they're going to. I think it's going to bridge the gap, which is what it was always intended to do, I guess.
Right.
And that last shot in the shower.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is the best thing in the world.
Yeah.
That's scary.
I did like all the horror elements. But when it got to the part of the trailer where they're in the ship and it's like showing all the characters.
Yeah.
It was at that point that I was like, maybe it's like the formula feels like it's not that you can tell from the trailer, but it feels like it's going to be very similar to Prometheus and the original
Alien. Aren't they all like that though? It's like,
well, I mean, to a degree, yeah.
They're just all interchangeable.
Well, I mean, of course, 3 and 4 are totally different, but they're also not great movies.
Well, 4 is, I mean, that's a crew. I mean, it's the same. Like, it's, you know, everybody's interchangeable. You know what I mean? Like, it's not. It's you got your wise ass, your leader, your badass chick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're all fucking interchangeable people. Did you see Prometheus?
I did not.
No?
Imagine.
Yeah, I know, right? What do you think of that just as a...
It looks cool. It actually, it's a franchise actually that I intend to catch up on at some point. Being such a, in general, space
guy,
film person, you know? So, yeah, I think. And I haven't ever really dug off into, like, space horror
as much.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So, like, that's... And it's really fucking terrifying.
Yes.
As a sort of concept.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a franchise that I feel like, by and large, has done it pretty well across the board.
Right.
Prometheus, Cameron and I go back and forth on a lot.
Mm-hmm.
We did in Second Chance Cinema. But this one, I don't know. I feel like that, yeah, he's realized that mistakes that he's made, and he's gone back to, you know, doing right.
Yeah.
There have been like a ton of trailers that we missed while we've been away, but yeah, we're not going to go over those, I guess.
All 100 of them?
Yeah, it would be like, that would be like a 5-hour show.
Mm.
Good things. Well, we'll talk about that in a minute. So yeah, I don't know. I'm looking forward to it. It got me excited again.
Yeah.
I will say that for somebody who really didn't care for Prometheus,
mm-hmm,
I was like, okay, cool. I mean, the teaser poster is just... We talked about this. I don't know if the episode will come out by the time we talk. Yeah, it will. There's the teaser poster is just, like, the Xenomorph kind of in shadow, and it just says, run. And it's like, oh, God!
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'll be curious. I wonder if this will lead straight into the original Alien. Because it looks like the same planet, maybe.
Right. Yeah, that was another thing that I was like, well, they just back on LV, blah, 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 whatever, or is it something else, or...
Oh, I don't know.
One thing I do think points to something that I could get behind is the fact that this Xenomorph operates a little differently. You know, it comes out of your back, apparently.
Maybe.
Because that's always been my thing with Alien, was I never, with the exception of Prometheus, which all in all was not a great movie, that's the part about it I did like, was that it wasn't just this, it's a Xenomorph, it's supposed to do different stuff. So, I mean, if we have something that doesn't operate the exact same way as the original Alien does, I'll be excited about that at least.
Yeah, I don't know, there were some different things. It's weird seeing Michael Fassbender back, because I guess he got his head put back on his body. I don't know. We'll see what happens. He's a robot. I guess they can do that. You can just keep manufacturing different robots.
Take his USB out and put in
a different fucking body.
Mm-hmm.
Man, wouldn't that be great? I wouldn't pick this fucking body, that's for sure. I'd pick literally any other
Michael
body.
Fassbender's?
In a fart beat.
Yep.
Would I pick Michael Fassbender's body? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, things this year that were good. Cameron, I'm going to start with you. Or should I? Should I not?
Well, I mentioned that I didn't see a ton of stuff this year.
Right.
Maybe just the things you would have expected me to see, like Civil War. That was this year, right?
Civil War was pretty great.
Yeah.
Civil War is definitely, in terms of like superhero shit that came out this year, Civil War is a big one.
Mm-hmm.
It did everything right, whereas like Batman versus Superman did everything wrong.
That's been, if nothing else, it's been fun watching DC flounder around.
It's like,
what are we doing?
It's tragic. I find it to be kind of tragic and awful. Right. Because it's one of those things that... Well, let's talk about Civil War, because we'll get to DC in a little bit. Civil War was great. All of the things you've come to love about Marvel movies kind of on display.
Yeah.
And then Spider-Man.
Right.
And the Spider-Man stuff is probably, at least for me, the best part of the movie.
Right.
Or
it's at least the takeaway.
Yeah.
That and the airport fight scene.
Right. You know, and it's been interesting to see, like, kind of the, not necessarily fallout, but some of the criticisms that have come out of it,
mm-hmm,
and but have spoken kind of Marvel movies at large about the palette that they use and the score that they use. I don't give a fuck about any of that, really.
Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't take away the fact that I still enjoy all of those movies.
Right.
They
feel like a cinematic version of a comic book.
Right. For the most part, yeah. Yeah. At least, the thing that I have always gone back to is that they feel like the ultimate version of the Marvel line. Ultimate Marvel, you know, that's what that feels like.
Right.
Doesn't feel like the 60s, you know, flashy colors, that kind of thing. What did feel like that was Doctor Strange.
Right.
Which was one of my favorite movies.
And I missed that one. I'm still bummed I miss it, but...
Spence, did you see either?
I did not.
No?
No.
Have you... Are you even a Marvel, like...
Are you even a person?
Yeah, are you a
tangentially, are you a human? listening to this podcast, in fact, is how I know most things that I do. I need to give Civil War a chance.
I feel like that, yeah.
Because there's all kinds of obvious reasons why I would hold Captain America at arm's length.
Right.
Right. So sure. For me, knowing me.
Right.
But I also have a little trouble. You know, like, we're talking about me liking space movies and stuff. I've always been much more drawn to sort of harder realism in films that I watch.
Okay.
And so there's a stretch for me with the superhero thing that I...
Sure.
Also, having not grown up with it, like, they're not so much...
Right.
There's no nostalgia attached to any of these characters.
Sure.
Like, it's a whole kind of, untold universe.
Which is more interesting to me. Somebody like you who comes into it brand new, and it's the same thing with Star Wars. Somebody who did not grow up with Star Wars
right.
has zero, like, you know, nostalgia.
Episode one's okay.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like, it's that kind of thing. Or they, you know, they can look at Rogue One and be like, yeah, that was a good movie, but not like, you know.
Has no emotional impact.
Right. So that's a much more interesting point of view to me. So, like, the way that you look at superhero movies inevitably is more interesting to me than how Cameron or I as fans will, you know, or as, like, people who grew up with it.
Right.
Because our fucking childhoods were steeped in that. I mean, with the cartoons and the...
Between X-Men and Spider-Man, not so much the Avengers,
right.
But I don't know if you did, but we had that arcade game.
Yeah.
So the Vision to me is this little white man.
Oh,
little. Not, I don't mean white as in race. I mean, like, he's white.
Yeah, he was completely white. Yeah. So, like, seeing him as in the arcade. Oh, that's right.
And thank you, Quicksilver. Like, to me, that's Captain America and the Avengers. That's what the Avengers means to me.
Right.
Because you didn't have a Fox Kids Captain America show.
But that's the thing. Like, all right. So we had the Spider-Man cartoon. We had the X-Men cartoon.
Uh-huh.
The fact that there isn't an X-Men movie that looks even remotely like the cartoon or the video games or the comic books blows my fucking mind. They've all been so deadly serious.
I'd say the closest you got was the throwback one. Which one was it? The first throwback one?
Oh, the First Class?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you had the yellow and blue and
right,
all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's been...
But it still's not... The spirit isn't there.
Right.
You all right, buddy?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that this is... my phone is sitting next to me. The child actor from the Child's Play movies just started following me on Instagram. That's weird, right? This is a weird... This is a legitimate thing.
Let's see if they want to be on the podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it's literally him. Wow. Ooh. Weird.
DM.
Hey, bud.
What you doing?
How you been? Okay, so anyway. So Civil War. That's near... That's up there.
Sure.
Big blockbuster stuff by and large, kind of avoided this year.
I don't think either of us saw Ninja Turtles, did we?
Did not see the Ninja Turtles movie.
Did not hear a peep about it
either. No. Didn't see Independence Day.
No, again, nothing. Heard nothing. These huge marketing campaigns and then just dead silence.
Right. Did not see in theaters.
Well, I felt that way about the newest Star Trek movie. I don't know anything about it, which
right.
is crazy.
Yeah.
I saw it in the drive-in, so it's, I like 75% saw it, you
right.
know?
Yeah.
Same with Ghostbusters, but, I felt like people liked it, and they liked it better than the second one.
Right.
But again, it wasn't like this...
Did you see it?
I didn't. But I didn't care for the second one. Actually.
No, neither did I.
Was,
I really.
Nobody was did. Like pretty well received, I think, but I didn't.
I mean, I think it was like, it was widely agreed upon that it just was not as good as the first one.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
I love the first one, actually. Yeah.
We should probably watch the third one while you're here this week.
We could do that.
Just because I would like to. I mean, it's got Idris Elba in it, and that's all I really give a shit about.
I think that's fascinating in general that you, like, we're in this, like, if you're talking about all this, like, fake news and stuff, that's, you know, this is a conversation we're having, that you can throw, I mean, these are, you know, millions and millions dollar ad campaigns for these films that, like, you then somehow still manage to never hear about.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
Well, and it's weird, because then you look at something like Ghostbusters, which had two trailers, and I don't feel like had a huge marketing push, really.
If it didn't seem bigger than anything else. No, it seemed pretty normal.
Like, my awareness of it was just because of the like ridiculous controversy about it.
Oh yeah, I think
probably sold it more than any of their stuff did anyway.
It would take a certain amount of people and put them in the camp of I'm never going to see that, and a certain amount of people, you and me, who are going to see it even if it sucks,
right?
Just for the, you know, or thumbing your nose or whatever at the idea that it shouldn't exist.
Right. I in terms of like blockbuster, you know, big tentpole movies, Ghostbusters was up there for me.
I loved it. Yeah,
I thought it was pretty incredible.
I didn't feel like this big hullabaloo and then a failure to me.
No, definitely not.
Like, I wasn't crazy about it, but I did like it a lot. I laughed a lot.
Than Ghostbusters too. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, no, I don't think anybody really expected it to be, you know, better than the original Ghostbusters movie.
Right.
Because that was kind of lightning in a bottle for what it was.
Mm-hmm. Which is proven by the sequel.
Right. But I think it stands up there, you know, very near to how good, for me it was anyway. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I thought it was very funny. I thought it was really well done. I thought the way that they did the big bad at the end was funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then, but even then, a movie that did pretty well, we're not, you know, we probably won't get a sequel, and then just kind of disappeared.
Yeah.
It's an interesting dynamic. And then if you look at, so to finish talking about blockbusters before we move into, like, smaller things, you have something like Batman versus Superman, which was abysmal.
Yeah.
And
almost
then,
talked it, that seemed to stay. See, here's the mental image I have right now, and that is a very chaotic ocean.
Okay.
And a bunch of ships on it. The ships are the movies.
Yeah.
So it's like some of these movies get thrown real high up on a wave and they crash down, never to be seen again.
Right.
And then there's movies like Batman versus Superman and what's the other one? Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
Where they almost like the broken pieces of the ship stay afloat for a while, and we can talk about how much of a disaster it was for a minute. Because I feel like I've heard those have stayed in the consciousness longer just because people being so disappointed by them.
I'm just going to insert that. I saw Jared Leto in a Gucci ad the other day, and I wanted to kill myself. It was so stupid.
Angel face.
And that is 2016. There it is.
I just feel like he was so highly lauded just a year or two ago.
Right.
And now everybody's just like, what a bag of garbage.
He's kind of a garbage person. Mm-hmm. He's awful in that movie. That movie is trash. You're right. They do, because you have these things. I mean, we have these reactions to like properties that it's like no brainers. But when Batman has been a proven, like, there's a formula that has been proven to work in different, like, originally with the Burton films and then with the Nolan films, proven to work either way you do them, and then you just get it so fucking wrong. Mm-hmm. Like, I still think that Batman's the only good part of that movie.
Are you talking about Batman versus Superman, or
Batman versus Superman?
Okay.
And then you just get everything wrong about Suicide Squad.
Mm-hmm. Did you see it?
Yes. Okay. And I saw that in theaters.
Okay.
There wasn't a redeeming quality of that movie to me. Like, originally I was like, oh yeah, Will Smith wasn't bad. Margot Robbie wasn't bad. The more I thought about it, no. I'm sorry.
Looks like with some part of A Suicide Squad TM trademark registered by the toys.
Yeah, exactly. It felt like the first hour of the movie is a music video.
Mm-hmm.
Every time a new character is introduced, there's a new song. So for like when Amanda Waller, who's, you know, the evil warden, is introduced, they play Sympathy for the Devil. And it's just every part, every
most heavy-handed, like...
Yes, everything is so ham-fisted and on the nose, and it's just like...
Somebody needs to do another cut of the movie where every song is replaced with Ballroom Blitz. It's just Ballroom Blitz for 90 minutes straight.
Like, try like 2.5 hours. I mean, like...
Is it really that long?
It's so fucking long. Okay. If it's not... It definitely felt fucking like it.
Yeah.
So the first hour plays out, hour and a half plays out like a music video. The last part plays out like the worst boss battle in a video game ever. Just because, like, even though with the Marvel movies, we're introduced to villains very quickly and then they're kind of dispatched,
mm-hmm.
and that's kind of how superhero movies go, they at least give you something interesting about the villain.
Yeah.
There is nothing remotely interesting about the villain,
mm-hmm.
or I guess kind of villains of Suicide Squad.
Right.
If they wanted it to be, they should have made the Joker the villain.
Mm-hmm.
Even though that I hated that performance.
That, yeah, I could have seen that being kind of fun.
Yeah, that would have at least made a little more sense.
Mm-hmm.
Instead,
but it says some like no name.
Yeah, we get Enchantress, who is supposed to be a member of the Suicide Squad.
Oh.
And then is kind of like betrays them.
Yeah.
And her brother. And the way that they introduce her brother, who I think is Succubus or Incubus or one of the two, they just introduce him via a doll, and then he possesses somebody and just becomes a CGI nightmare. And that's it.
Cool.
Yeah. It is bafflingly bad.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, these huge, just, it's a no-brainer how you get this movie correct, and then they still get them so fucking wrong.
To me, it's almost like, going by your description, it seems like you've got the big movies done by Zack Snyder, mm-hmm. and then you've got these smaller ones done by people doing bad impressions of Zack Snyder.
Yeah.
Like the whole, that was my biggest complaint about Watchmen, was the soundtrack. When Dr. Manhattan builds the stuff on Mars,
yeah,
and it starts, and it's giant gears, and it starts playing all on the watchtower,
yeah,
and it's just like, that's too literal,
right?
You can't, that's just too, like, let me flip through my iPod or whatever and find something with the word watch in it.
But that's what Suicide Squad was. It was just like, it was a high schooler who's making a school project who just thought, I'm going to be really clever with my song choices. And, mm-hmm. and that's what we got, you know? So just these, yes, big X, huge disappointments.
And walking rocket pop, Harlequin.
Right, exactly.
Is that what I'm thinking of? Rocket Pops?
Yeah. Red, white, blue. Yeah, that's exactly what she fucking looks like. Pretty disappointing as far as tentpole movies go. What was not disappointing this year was a lot of the independent stuff that mm-hmm. came out. My number one pick this year was probably Green Room.
I wanted you to say Yoga Hosers. Yes.
I did not say Yoga Hosers. I still haven't seen that.
It's on Netflix.
I know. Green Room. Spencer, talk about Green Room.
Well, Green Room is my favorite movie of the year. And no one will watch it with me.
Really?
No one wants to. If anybody, people who have heard what it's about don't want to watch it. Yeah. People who have seen it once don't want to watch it again.
Okay.
So
which one is this?
No, go ahead.
This is Patrick Stewart is the white supremacist leader who entraps this punk band that's touring through rural Oregon. And
I totally missed this.
Like, they see something they're not supposed to see, and they decide they're at this compound, which is also the venue that they're playing.
Gotcha.
And it's, and they basically decide to, like, handle them quietly and then call the police, and so they have to, like, fight their way out. And fucking, I mean, no one gets out. I mean, it is so violent.
It the way
and in a way
Patrick
is,
Stewart?
Yes. Yeah. And he okay. it's and I it was one of those films that I had heard you sort of talking about it. I had seen a little bit of like ad buzz on like social media and stuff, and my friend Chris in New York was like, "Hey, do you want to just he's like I'm going to go see this movie in Times Square and it, Patrick Stewart's in it. Do you want to come?"
IFC?
And I was like, "Sure." No. It was okay. It was like a whatever AMC.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, "Sure," not expecting anything.
Right.
And then there it was.
Yeah.
And I love Blue Ruin also.
Right,
so...
which was Jeremy Saulnier's movie from last year, or the year before.
Oh, same, okay.
Same guy, yeah.
So interesting. So everything you love about that, but then add Patrick Stewart.
Okay.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Anton
Yelchin.
Speaking of more Rest in Peace
yeah.
stuff,
oh, God.
Jesus Christ.
Wow, that was like the beginning of...
Yeah, of like the...
Of everything awful.
Right.
Was Anton...
Yeah, well, wow. right before him was Bowie. And yeah, then it was downhill.
Tip the domino.
Right.
Such a beautiful film. What would you say?
I would say that it is gorgeous. It is brutal. It is an art house exploitation movie. I mean, it's an art house movie, or it's an exploitation movie masquerading as an art house movie. And I don't mean that with any sort of negative connotation at all. The performances are all incredible. Like, there's recognizable actors, but they're all playing, like... If the movie had just been about these kids touring for an hour and a half, I would have watched that. I would have
just... because the
just,
characters are writing was
just
so compelling?
Yeah, because they nail that lifestyle mm-hmm. so perfectly. You know...
I saw some things in the mirror there.
Yeah.
For sure.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
And, like, Murfreesboro... being such a big music community, there was stuff that I was like, this speaks so true of what that life is like. And then the thing that Jeremy Saulnier does that is really compelling is that he doesn't include a ton of exposition. So there's a lot of like figuring things out for yourself. I've watched Green Room 5 or 6 times now. And there are still things that I either I'm not 100% sure about or I'm still piecing together about it. He's very careful about what sort of exposition he includes. As a matter of fact, the most exposition in Green Room is a scene very early on where the band is being interviewed and they kind of just info dump on you mm-hmm. about the band.
Yeah.
But as far as like what is happening at this white supremacist compound and like, you know, why everybody is... why there's such a level of secrecy and everything, you're kind of putting all that together yourself and who some of the characters are and what their real motivations are. All of those things are things you have to kind of do yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I like a movie that makes you work for it a little bit.
Yeah.
I really couldn't say enough good things about the movie. I think it was criminally underseen, wonderfully reviewed across the board, but I think it was criminally underseen.
Yeah.
So it would be the movie this year that, I feel like in the next few years we'll continue to get exposure and people will continue to see it.
Right.
Especially when Jeremy Saulnier does like a big tentpole movie, because that's bound to happen within the next 3 years. So, yeah, that was my number one of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Right up there with it was a movie that I'm pretty sure neither of you have seen yet. It's called Trash Fire. Trash Fire is by a guy named Ricky Bates Jr., who did one of my other all-time favorite films called Excision. Trash Fire is about a guy and his girlfriend, and they're in a very dysfunctional relationship. And this guy's family died in a horrible house fire, or his mother and father did. His sister was burnt over 80% of her body, and now she lives with the grandmother, and he's had zero contact with these people for like 20 years. Girlfriend finds out that she's pregnant and wants him to reconnect with his family if they're going to make this thing work, and so they go to stay with the grandmother and the sister. It is one of the most uncomfortable movies I've ever watched in my life, but it is affecting in like the most insane way. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a very dark comedy, but Ricky Bates Jr. has a way of just being unrelenting with how uncomfortable he can make you, and just, he doesn't give a shit. Like, he's not just breaking rules, you know, just for the, the purpose of breaking rules. You know, like, there are movies that are just gratuitous for the point of being gratuitous. There's nothing gratuitous about what he does. It's just so real, and so it's like how things would really happen in the real world.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's the worst way a thing would happen.
Right.
So yeah, that was up there with me. For like, they're probably tied one and one. Hmm. So, yeah, those are two that really stood out to me.
Mm-hmm.
Don't Breathe was another really great
yeah,
one.
Yeah, I would like to see Don't Breathe.
Don't Breathe was really great. That was the director of the newest Evil Dead reboot, mm-hmm. Fede Alvarez, and starring Jane Levy, who was also in that. And that movie was pretty incredible.
Yeah.
The Witch was also up there. Did you see The Witch yet? You should probably see that. I think so.
I never got around to seeing it either.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, those are probably the top four.
We interviewed the director, for goodness sake.
Yeah. Yeah, Robert Eggers did a really incredible thing with that movie. Yeah, those are the big standouts for me.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see Moonlight?
I have not seen Moonlight yet.
Okay. This is one that I suspect will be one of my favorites once I finally get around to it.
Yeah. But it's been at the Bell Court for a while.
Really?
Yeah, and I mean, there is... I feel bad because I have about 30 movies right now, either physical or digital copies, that I have not watched. Right. And so there's a ton of stuff that I'm going to end up... that would make my list.
Yeah.
That I just haven't seen.
Yeah.
But one thing that probably would not change is how much I enjoyed Green Room.
Yeah.
Agreed.
That is definitely the most really emotionally draining, and just when a movie just leaves you breathless, I mean, there's something to be said for that.
Yeah.
So as far as movie goes, I think Green Room takes it this year for me,
mm-hmm.
Since for Spencer as well. Music.
Mad Gear
just kind of
topping the charts.
Just blew it all away.
The Mad Gear's killing it.
Was one of my favorite things this year, legitimately.
Really?
Yeah, Mad Gear. Yeah. Spencer Cameron's band, Mad Gear, they released their first album this year, and it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed the hell out of it. And it's interesting because even just this week, like, you've told me about, like, things that you're planning mm-hmm. next.
Right.
And it's just, it'll be fun to see where you go from here.
Right.
With the band.
More over the top, more ridiculous, yeah. More. Yep.
What is, as in terms of music, like, for things, I mean, do you feel like there's ever a point where you're going to run out of...
You could never run out. It's just a matter of doing stuff that's worth doing and doing stuff that somebody other than us is going to appreciate. And
what do you feel like is the most obscure thing that you guys have done so far?
Oh, we do this song from a game called Test Drive that got a ton of ports, but nobody's played it.
Right.
It was like an Amiga game, and it was out on PC and the SNES and some other consoles, but nobody's ever heard of it.
Right.
It's not a great game. It's like the worst kind of driving game.
Did you pick the track just because of...
It had stuck with me since childhood. Okay. I still remembered it, and my brother played it because he was a big car nut. And,
A corn nut.
He was a big corny car nut. And, yeah, so that's why I ended up picking that one.
The track.
Yeah.
All right. Can you talk about anything you guys are working on right now?
We're here in a couple weeks. We're going to record Ken and Guile's theme from Street Fighter 2.
Well, so about
that's
time.
In the works.
It's about time. How that was not the first thing.
Hmm?
How that was not the first thing.
We tried getting them recorded for the last time, but we ran out of time.
Yeah.
It was a logistical error.
Spencer.
Mm-hmm.
Music this year.
So I feel like as I have over the last couple of years, as I've been sort of surprised at how, I don't know if this is me getting old or what exactly, but like whatever the equivalent phrase to describe in music, big tent pole, whatever you were just saying about, like, right. Yeah, these sort of like larger releases, that's what I've been paying attention to more. And I actually think it's kind of more, I don't know, I've been paying attention to pop music differently than I sort of have. And right. Julian and I were talking about this recently, like how it's, there's, for years you're like not allowed to like stuff that right. everyone does, but then right. then you're like, oh wow, maybe I can, you know. So I mean, everyone's gonna say the new Bon Iver album, you know, first one in what, 5 years, I think 5+, actually.
I thought it was terrible.
Oh, you're wrong.
That was not good.
It's so good, man. It's brilliant. It's kind of, it seems like a culmination of a lot of steps forward you've seen him taking, producing for other people, obviously. I'm thinking about sort of, you know, and this is all kind of, in my consciousness, this is all, it's all this Midwest connection with everybody, right? Right? So, like, I'm thinking of him featuring on POS's album.
Okay.
The most, not the most recent release that's coming up, but so before, actually before his, like, kidney thing. Like, the way that they all know each other, my kind of, like, growing consciousness of Polisa and Marijuana Death Squads, Ryan Olson, the producer who works with the, you know, like, it's just such a brilliant, like, cohort of humans right. to me. And so, to me, that album is so much of a, like, collection of all of these people's work that I love so much.
Sure.
More so than just the Justin Vernon show. And I also like that he's pretty upfront about that.
Right, right.
Like, that it's a lot of people.
Yeah.
That kind of go into that project. I don't know. I saw them live recently in Red Hook, and it was, I mean, it was whatever, sublime. So
whatever.
Yeah, it was so good. I, in preparation, knowing that you would ask me this question, I'm like going through my Spotify. the new Blood Orange was really great.
Okay.
Another one of those that I felt like had all of, talking about all this hype sort of on the front end and then sort of disappeared, but it's still such a great album.
Right.
I think it has a length that is a little inaccessible, but it's really great. The singles are really great. Obviously, Frank Ocean is back.
Yeah, that seemed to be.
Is this something you've listened to much?
A little, just with Alex.
Okay.
So yeah, there is like that became more accessible to me this year.
It's one of those that's, I can tell I'm going to be listening to for a couple of years right. and peeling back layers.
Right.
There's the initial. There was like the initial listen. Like on my couch, you know,
right.
with like Lauren Moore.
Yeah.
We were both, when it first came out. Yeah, I think that's, it's been a, it seems like for all of the, you know, for a lot of sort of longstanding artists in my life, this has been a year of releasing new stuff.
Right.
And for the most part, not disappointing, which is really exciting.
The new Run the Jewels album just came out, and I haven't had a whole lot of time with it.
Mm-hmm.
I've listened to it once all the way through, and I adored it. That's a duo that I did not expect to like as much as I do. Mm-hmm. I fucking adore Run the Jewels. So I'm gonna, that'll probably end up being towards the top of my list.
Frank Ocean and Run the Jewels are both a couple of things I keep meaning to give a shot, and I just haven't
been able to.
There's also a Tribe Called Quest album that I haven't listened to
yet.
Yeah,
and so that was, I feel like an great. Idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely near the top of the list.
Mm.
So I haven't, we were talking about this last night, I haven't touched because I feel like I don't have the emotional bandwidth to support it. I have not touched Hamilton, as I don't touch a lot of musicals.
Yeah.
But that Dessa has a feature on this
the mixtape
is yeah, I mean, speaking of Midwest again, but I'm really intrigued by this as a phenomenon, especially following, I mean, I don't want to say his name, but you know, the onstage rebuke of certain politicians.
Yeah.
I think that the cultural force that is really interesting and exciting to me. I've got to give it a shot.
Hamilton is just such a force of good in this world. And as a piece of art, and I think the mixtape is really good, but as a piece of art, I think the show itself is incredible. It's a word that probably gets thrown around a little too much, but I think is probably true in this sense. I think Lin-Manuel Miranda is a genius.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that my buddy Derek Zhu likes to say about Hamilton and about Lin-Manuel's writing is that he's playing chess, not checkers.
Hmm.
I mean, there's stuff in it that is just really brilliant. So, no, you're fine. So, yeah.
That was a cat.
Yeah. I think, that everything that has been or revolved around Hamilton this year has been pretty great. Other things. Cameron, what else? Have you listened to anything, really?
There's just some new to me stuff that's come up. Like, my in-laws got me a Blood, Sweat, and Tears album.
Oh, wow.
So that's from, like, the late 70s. And then I got a Tower of Power record and a Mastodon album from, like, six years ago.
Yeah.
So, yeah, not with new the times. To you. New to me.
New to you. And there's still something to be said for new to you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Spencer, this is a question for you and I guess. The new Against Me album.
Well, so implied in the question is a certain something here. So what do you think?
I mean, for me, you're never going to get as good as the last album.
So that's been the danger, right? Is, you know, it's such a monumental, I mean...
personal...
era-shifting...
yes.
...thing in this band that already has this pretty enormous discography.
Right.
And story that is now in Laura Jane Grace's autobiography, which has just been released,
right.
Which is in my car right now. It's like my reading material. I think it's a cool album.
It's a really good album.
I find myself reaching for. It's like this. It's like I don't in the way that I just listen to the shit out of Transgender Dysphoria Blues. I'm not doing that with this one, but I almost have a more like. I don't know, excited reaction when I hear songs off of the newest one.
Right.
Shapeshift with me. You might want to look to your right.
I got him. He wasn't going to sneak up on me.
Fucker.
Is that another cat?
Yeah, flipping me off.
Weird times in Murfreesboro. Yeah, so I think it's almost not a thing to compare as much as just completely a different animal.
It is.
That's how I feel about it. And I think it's fantastic.
Yeah.
That would be what I would say.
Sure.
Meanwhile, I'm one of those morons who keeps confusing Against Me with punk metal band Rise Against.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I listened to Rise Against a bunch in the car last night, and I was the first song, Siren, or the first album, Siren Song, and I was thinking, like, what happened to them? Are they...
I don't know.
I mean...
I think they're one of those bands that are still around, but they're basically just redoing the same song over and over.
They were the first people to get me excited about going vegan. Like, way back.
Another album that nobody liked that I did was the new Avett Brothers album. I thought it was pretty good.
I didn't even know they put one out.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, it was like to no acclaim. Mm. I mean, they just put it out, and I enjoyed it. Take that for what you will.
Sure.
I'm
enjoying, I will say this, this is a little bit of holdover from, because I was just looking at release dates and stuff, so there are, you know, to say good things about, especially queer visibility, right, in music. I mean, this has been a great year, again, in pop music, I feel like, of, you know, there's like boys wearing nail polish and singing about boys.
Right.
It's pretty sweet, actually. Blue Neighborhood, Troy Sivan's album, came out in like December of last year. So this has been the year of it.
Close enough, yeah, sure.
I could not be a bigger fan of him. You know, it's, or like Ollie Alexander from Years and Years.
Right.
There's just these very visible queer kind of becoming icons for all the people we're losing. We're gaining so many brilliant people. I think that's, in music for me, that's been the thing that's kind of, that I'm excited by.
Sure.
Is this kind of what feels like forward movement in these art spaces. And into like a wider audience.
Yeah.
You know, like my mom knows these lyrics. You know what I mean? So it's killer.
In terms of like new things and like things that have kind of been brought to my attention, Julian Baker introduced me to a few things this year. Savages, really love them. Mm. Phoebe Bridgers, who she toured with, and Lucy Dacus, who she also toured with, all have incredible material out right now. So check them out. Petal as well. Basically, anyone she's toured with has been pretty incredible. So in good
I want to see the Julian Baker with Power Bottom tour. That's what I want.
She just introduced me to Power Bottom.
Yeah.
Holy fucking shit.
I couldn't love them more if
I
tried.
My God. So yeah, good music. Cameron, Did you watch anything on the television this year?
There's one thing I feel like we can have a pretty decent discussion about. Stranger Things.
Boy, oh boy. Okay, Spencer did not watch Stranger Things?
Nah, I watched the first episode.
And that was it, huh?
Yep.
The wow. singular...
Hey, you want to bring me some of that?
Well, not, I won't say the singular ray of pop culture hope, but it did something for me that I wasn't getting elsewhere. And I feel like a lot of people kind of feel that way.
It was pretty incredible. It came out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Was one of those really great things that Netflix did where they don't have to spend a lot of money on their marketing.
Right.
Because even like these big, thank you, even these huge Marvel series that they're doing, there's not like I'm not seeing, you know, huge like ad campaigns and things
on
like that.
On Facebook or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
And so the same thing happened with Stranger Things. They dropped a trailer and 3 weeks later it was out.
Yep.
And it was just like that first trailer. I was like, holy shit.
And you didn't hear these little echoes of like Winona Ryder working on throwback 80s series
exactly.
or whatever.
And like the first trailer was like, okay, this looks very throwback. This looks like everything I ever loved in my life. what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
And then it dropped, and it took me about a week after it dropped to be able to sit down and watch any of it.
Yeah.
And holy shit. I mean, I just rewatched it the other day, over like 3 days, and it's really great. It's mm-hmm. not perfect.
Yeah.
It didn't reinvent, you know, anything, but what it does really fucking well.
Right.
It's
one of those love letter genre type things that just understood what it was doing so well.
Right.
That any of the cliche writing elements weren't that important because it wasn't about that.
Right. And I feel like as a piece of pure nostalgia, it really, you know, it accomplishes every part of that.
Mm-hmm.
I think the thing that is the standout are the fucking kids.
Right.
Getting kid actors to work that well as mm-hmm. an ensemble is not easy.
To care, like, making you care about them?
Right.
And, yeah.
From episode one.
Right.
You care about a character that you've only seen in two episodes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Will's disappearance, you know, you care about that kid from the get-go.
Right.
You know, you're introduced to these kids sitting around a table playing D&D, and it's like, God, every fucking
which is a victory in itself.
Right, exactly. Yeah, that's definitely near the top of the list for mm-hmm. me for TV. The other thing that was my standout this year, there's a ton that I missed. I miss Westworld completely.
Right.
I would really like to watch Westworld. I just haven't yet. There were two shows this year that really nailed it. One was a returning show, Ash vs. Evil Dead. My year was kind of consumed with Evil Dead stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But this fucking show is the most perfect way to bring something back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's this thing of like, Evil Dead's been gone for years and years. We get a reboot, which was really good. But then to see Bruce Campbell as Ash and doing that character again after all these years, it works so well in the first season that you're like, how can they sustain this? And they fucking do. And they like bring things back, and just like, there are so many. The last two episodes, they return to the cabin again, which they did in the first season as well, but they do it in a different way, and they bring back one character from the second movie, and I just could not believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was just so perfectly done. That's an example of something being the biggest love letter ever.
Right.
And then there was a new TV show that came out this year that I had zero expectations for.
Mm-hmm.
Sci-Fi Channel put out an original show called Channel Zero.
Mm-hmm.
The premise behind Channel Zero is that it's going to be an anthology series each season, much like American Horror Story, except they're taking creepypasta and they're adapting it for television.
Okay.
I fucking hate creepypasta. Mm-hmm. I can't stand it. I don't think... I just think it's such a lazy art form.
Sure.
I could not believe how effective this series was.
Yeah.
The first one they did was called Candle Cove, and the story of Candle Cove is that it was a weird children's television show that popped up on some on some TVs in the 60s, and only some kids could see it, and it caused them to go fucking crazy. And then it shows up years later.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the that's what the season is about.
And that is a creepypasta
yes.
thing?
Yeah.
Okay. Candle Cove. So Slender Man's part of that, right?
Or no? Slender Man, yeah, started as a creepypasta thing. Okay. Yeah. But now has become so, like, mixed up in right stuff. And
gotcha.
Like, so, yeah, this series, though, is one of the most genuinely scary things I've seen in a really long time.
Right.
It was done by some of the showrunners from Hannibal, so already the quality was there. And it's, yeah, it's terrifying. I mean, it's really scary shit. There's nothing really more I can say about it.
Yeah.
Anybody who's a horror fan and has not seen this needs to do that immediately.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, American Horror Story was dog shit this year.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much everything, you know, else horror TV related was not very good. I still can't watch The Walking Dead. You know, it's just not doing anything for me.
Oh yeah, that's we talked about that last episode, yeah. But I've just completely lost interest.
Yeah. The Channel Zero is the new. That should be what people are watching.
Are you watching horror. Scream Queens?
Hey, I can't stand it.
Is that any okay?
Cannot stand it.
Yeah, I didn't know anything about it really, just that it existed.
So, yeah, that's.
Did you watch... I don't know that we've ever talked about this. Did you ever watch Horace and Pete?
Bro.
Because I didn't.
At all?
Because I was... You know how sometimes you
watch the Marin... Are you listening to the Marin episode?
Well, yeah, I listened to the whole thing about it.
Holy shit.
But I haven't watched it.
Okay.
You don't need to watch this shit when you're in dark places, you know?
Right. And here's the thing that I need to say. Thank you for bringing that up, because I would have forgotten to talk about it. I have only seen one episode of this show. For those of you who don't know, Louis C.K. in secret made a television show with Steve Buscemi and Alan Alda and Jessica Lange, and it is shot in one take, more or less, each episode is, like a play. So there are, like, you can tell when an actor forgets their lines, you can tell, like, when they're kind of floundering. And it is about a family-owned bar that has been owned for 100 years. And it has gone from generation to generation to a different Horace and a different Pete, whether they're brothers or cousins or uncle and, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's indescribable. I mean, it is the most, like... You feel like you're watching something that you have no business being privy to. You know, like, you're in this part, like, these people's lives. It's like being in a theater and not being able to, like, sitting very close to the stage, and it's right there, and you can't look away, you know.
Wow.
Alex and I watched the first episode. Each one's about an hour long, and I cannot recommend that enough. There's 10 episodes, I think. I don't know how it's going to sustain. You know, just watching one episode, I don't know how the next 9 episodes are going to sustain, because it's so hard to watch. But it is one of the most incredible things I've ever seen. Bar none.
Like, what was it? What was it aired on?
It was originally Crackle? No.
He, like, sent an email.
No.
Remember the whole thing? It was like, hey, we made this surprise, but didn't go to distribution. It was, like, it was on his website, right?
It was on a platform, but not, like, originally not on Hulu or Netflix or anything like that. I remember the day that it dropped, I was in L.A., and Michael Malone was like, hey, this is this weird thing that Louis just did, and it's out. And we couldn't get it to load for whatever reason, I think because it was just everybody.
Slammed.
Yeah. So Alex and I, about 2 weeks ago, were trying to find something to watch on Hulu, and it had just dropped on Hulu. And I was like, oh, holy shit.
Mm-hmm.
And neither of us were in a place where we probably should have been watching it. Because it's dark. It's really fucking dark. Like, Alan Alda playing a part that you've never seen Alan Alda play before. It's just... It is on Hulu now. If you have Hulu, watch it. If not, get a free trial and watch it. Like, yeah. I mean, it's absolutely worth a watch. Okay. So, Stranger Things, Horace and Pete. What else?
Well, I don't even know if I should mention this because it just goes in the mediocrity bin, but only in my opinion was Luke Cage. I did not finish it. I got maybe 3/4 of the way through and lost interest. I think it's really good and really well put together, but maybe just not something.
Did you watch Jessica Jones?
Yes.
Better or worse than Jessica Jones?
I think Jessica Jones is a little bit better. For some reason, Luke as a character isn't super interesting to me.
Okay.
And, I mean, even Daredevil kind of lost me a little bit in the second season. So it's maybe just that...
Too many ninjas.
Yeah, too many ninjas. Side note, have you ever heard someone talk about how, like, ninjas are, like, you know, whatever, kind of Western shorthand for just general Asian, like, fighter guys? And that if you were to transplant everything into Asia, the buildings would be guarded by cowboys? You know what I'm saying? Like, if you were to reverse roles?
Reverse the roles?
I see.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
No. So, somebody needs to make that show. Just a million disposable cowboys. Just
disposable cowboys.
I'm going to.
Where did you think it was going to end up?
I don't know, but that was great.
Yeah. Interesting. Interesting.
There's I don't know if, do you have opinions on Luke Cage?
I haven't watched it.
Okay, well. It's like I said, I think it's really good and I think it's an important show in terms of it being, you know, 90% African American cast,
right,
and all really good actors.
Right.
Like, not, they didn't just find anybody. They got some really good, great people. And the writing's good, the action's good. It's just for whatever reason, it didn't hold my attention.
Spencer, what were you gonna say?
Nothing.
Am I funny to you?
Thought you had a thing.
There is one more surprise show that I feel like I have to mention.
Oh boy,
Gilmore Girls.
Stop.
I, as you can imagine, did not sit down and say, hey, guess what we're watching today? My wife...
There it is.
Like how you gave me that look, like, you better do it.
How you gonna do it, motherfucker?
she put it on, and I probably watched about 3/4 of it. Like, okay. I did not pay attention to the whole thing. But I will say, in a culture that is inundated with reboots, reimaginings, sequels... prequels and all the rest, the Gilmore Girls miniseries is one of the best put together and imagined, however you want to say that, sequel.
Okay.
Post-season special, whatever you might call it.
That's interesting.
It felt right. It didn't feel for, and this is somebody, again, I've not sat down and watched every single episode of Gilmore Girls.
Right.
But I've seen a lot of it in passing.
Sure.
I've listened to it while I'm folding laundry or whatever, you know, my wife watches it. My wife watches it pretty often. So I get the general feel of the show, what it's about, what the characters are like. All of it felt correct. And I think that is pretty rare, you know, in all these, you know, all the nostalgia mining we have going on, it actually felt right. So I think that's noteworthy.
Interesting. Interesting.
Gets the seal of approval.
I have one more sentence.
Yes.
TV related.
Yes.
House of Cards season 4 made up for the third one.
Really?
That's my opinion.
Mm.
I hated the third one so much that I hate, did not.
So
watch the fourth.
I felt the same way and finally did a rewatch of the whole thing. And May, I think.
Okay.
I don't know. Where they landed at the end of 4, I thought, like, okay, this is cool.
Huh.
I'm interested again.
There's gonna be another season?
I don't know.
Could they leave it there?
No. I mean, it would be... You can leave anything anywhere.
I wouldn't. Okay.
At the end of it, he becomes... The actual Optimus White Prime. House.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yes. Kevin Spacey is
up
the
out
White
of the ground.
House.
Yeah. Walking around.
Mickey Mouse hands.
Yes. Well.
Talking to the camera.
Did you read anything?
Who are you talking to? I read most of Amy Poehler's book, liked it.
Okay.
I am completely off the reading train, sadly.
Spencer?
Did you read some Joel Osteen?
Yeah, in my world. Did I read anything cool in
there? I'm doing my Joel Osteen pose right now.
Yeah, you gotta smile more.
I don't have no as many harder. Teeth as he does. Yeah. Harder!
He has two times as many teeth as standard.
I'm going to tell you how to be blessed and how to be blessed in the Lord.
Yeah. And being blessed means giving me money.
Yep.
Yeah, drugs.
Drugs?
Yeah. No, I didn't really read anything cool in my universe. I am currently, as I said, reading Laura Jane Grace's autobiography, which there's a piece actually on... Noisy, what's that editor's name? It's the person who wrote the book with her.
Okay.
There's a long article about the story of them, like, basically not writing it so much as, like, compiling it, because it's out of journals.
Sure.
For the most part.
Right.
And cutting down, like, a million words or something, like a literal million words. And it just, knowing the process before now, actually reading the first few pages is, I'm just really excited.
That's one that's on my list. I'm currently reading Aziz Ansari's Modern Romance.
I've heard this pretty good.
It is very... It's not what I expected.
Mm-hmm.
Coming out of a breakup, it's interesting. Mm-hmm. Because it does very much deal with the world of dating and the world of, like, what romance looks like now.
Yeah.
So it's, like, the biggest thing that's probably nonfiction that I will have read this year. Mm-hmm. I read a lot of fiction this year.
Yeah.
The number one book I can recommend as a full-length book is My Best Friend's Exorcism, which was one of the most incredible horror novels I've read in a really long time. Head Full of Ghosts was another one that ended up being an exorcism novel that I didn't expect in a very strange way. It's a guy named Paul Tremblay. And Grady Hendrix did My Best Friend's Exorcism. Mm-hmm. Paul Tremblay did Head Full of Ghosts. And then I just finished a short story collection called Greener Pastures by Michael Wehunt, that is one of the best debut collections I've ever read. It is cosmic horror in a southern backdrop. He has a very strong, like, southern voice. So I would recommend all of those things. Yeah, I ended up reading, like, a lot of, like, cosmic and Cthulhu horror, not intentionally, it just, these were things that were recommended, and I just read, like, five Cthulhu-type things back-to-back, and exorcism things.
So. I went on a very brief YouTube Cthulhu rabbit hole jaunt.
Oh, yeah?
Very unsatisfying.
Yeah, yeah.
Bunch of super weird dudes in their bedroom talking about Cthulhu.
I will say, in other things read, The Blacklist just came out of the best unproduced scripts.
Mm-hmm.
I read a script. There were two on this list based on the life of Stephen King.
Mm.
One of which was a pretty straight dramedy. The other, I haven't read yet, is a fictionalized making of Maximum Overdrive. But the one that is the dramedy is called The Kings of Maine. And it is his life as an alcoholic while writing Carrie, and it's pretty great.
Mm.
There's some stuff that I am not crazy about in it, but if you get a chance to check that script out, I highly recommend it.
Yeah.
So I'm also reading three scripts from last year about the making of Jaws, which is interesting.
Yeah.
I'm reading a lot of 14th century English mysticism.
Oh,
so
well, that's
bullshit, like, addition to that.
And
check out Julian of Norwich, and she's great.
And Cameron is reading a lot of dishwasher user manuals.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you have to know how to use it. You can't just go in guns blazing.
Right,
it's a lot of buttons.
Yeah.
Things to look forward to for 2017.
It's not 2016.
That's probably the number one, is that it is not this year. It will be next year.
What if it just continues? What if...
Shut the
don't
fuck
you say
up.
Stuff like that. What
the fuck is wrong with you? Take it back. Take
There's
it
no
back.
There's no way it can be the same as 2016.
I almost feel like... See, just in phrasing. It's all in phrasing, and right there, you're just tempting fate. things to look forward to, Cameron. What are you looking forward to?
Well, Alien Covenant.
Well, yeah.
Could be okay. Cool.
See? There you go. Number one. Alien Covenant.
There's another Transformers movie coming out. It's going to be ballin'.
Like a fucking dry
Marky
dog
Mark.
It looks so bad.
Mr. Wahlberger himself.
It actually looks like the year of good guys becoming bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
Because Vin Diesel's a bad guy in the new Fast and Furious movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That I was like, I'm seeing this.
And a kind of a double... It looks like he might be a double crosser in the new Triple X movie. And then Optimus Prime is a bad guy in the new Transformers movie.
I didn't even catch that.
Yeah.
I saw the trailer and I was... I mean...
He says, forgive me, and then he stabs Bumblebee. Yeah, he's a fallen
knight.
I don't
even know who Bumblebee is, so that's probably why.
It's a yellow...
He's a little yellow, lovable guy.
Spencer.
I have one ask for 2017.
What is it?
I want Secret Skin with Open Mike Eagle to return.
When was it last?
It's been on hiatus.
Oh my God, I tweeted him
the other day, and it was like, miss you, and he liked it.
That's incredible.
But the last he rapped, I mean, it was every other week podcast for a long time, and then went to weekly,
right?
And then it ended. It was like an announced hiatus, and it ended with Marin actually being the last one.
Okay,
like,
well, he was on Marin's, wasn't he?
Right. So that was the trade-off. It was kind of a thing.
Well, at least you'll have.
I want him to come back into my life. That's
at least
what
you'll
I
have brand new episodes of We're Gonna Need a Bigger Show.
It's true. Coming 2017.
We're back.
Mm-hmm.
Back again. I'm so sorry.
You know what that made me think of?
What?
Did you ever see... It was the All That cast, and they did Meat Is Back.
No.
And it was like a school lunchroom kind of... No. It was like a nutrition PSA.
I didn't see that.
Did a full cover of...
Wow.
Holy
shit.
There's weird stuff in my head right now.
New Star Wars, new Marvel, this and that. Justice League has got to be better than anything DC has done so far. Please, dear God, let it be better. New Star Wars is kind of a big one, I think.
Oh, one thing we might have to do in the new year is the brother-in-law, the one who brought you Star Fox 64, brought me Star Fox 64, he also found a 4-hour cut of The Hobbit, like all three movies.
I have made my peace with Lord of the Rings, and I watched them, and we will be hearing those episodes very soon.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a chance in hell that I would watch any sort of cut of The Hobbit.
Oh, come on, man.
No.
I'll let you know how it is.
You watch it, you record an episode. I would rather crack open a thermometer and pour mercury into my ear.
Or your eyes, in this case.
No, in my ear.
Okay.
That's where I want it. I'm going to shove a fucking spoon up my ass before I watch anything to do with The Hobbit.
All right.
Alabama Hot Spoon. Don't worry about it. Anything else? Cameron?
I think that sums it up.
Spencer?
Hmm?
Spencer, you're about to go to Sweden.
Yeah.
That's how you're kicking off your... Stop it. That's how you're going to kick off your 2017.
Yeah, it's going to be nice.
Uh-huh.
Going to see some people, do some work. I will be in Sweden for the inauguration.
Thank God.
So I think that's kind of starting the... on the right note, personally. Mm-hmm.
Good. I will be in LA for the first part of the year in February, which I'm excited about.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully that will lead to bigger, brighter, better things for 2017. Cameron's just going to hold down the fort.
Do some laundry.
Yep.
And record some tunes. Mad Gear, more Mad Gear 2017.
That's Mad Gear's going to tour and somehow play in Manhattan, and I'm going to go see it.
Yep.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Yeah.
Is there any plan to tour?
We do one-off things. We're playing in Kentucky in Louisville in March.
All right, but what would be a scenario to do like a 10, 15 city tour?
It would be hard. Because you'd have to find the right places, you know what I mean?
Sure, but I mean, let's say they exist in like a, you know, 10 state vicinity.
Uh-huh.
Call it what, the Northeast.
What's the question?
What would be, like, would you do it?
It... I want to say probably not.
Really?
It would have to be a really... It would really have to make sense for a lot of reasons.
Okay.
My ambition only goes so far with me. Because the touring life is not a life for me. But,
Patty?
Yeah. But...
Jesus. All right. Well, we can dream, can't we?
Yeah.
All right. Well, for the bigger show, this has been...
Spencer.
And I have been Mike D. Thank you so much for listening. We will see you in the rest of 2017.
Let's hope for better.
Please, God. Show, we're looking at a bigger show.